Moncrief on News Talk.
And while we were talking there, Mr. P has texted in to say those holy crisps sound sacrilegious. You're welcome. Thank you for that. That's, we'll just think about that for a while. Actually, we're going to return to something kind of religious now, or kind of religious adjacent, but not in a blasphemous sense. You've probably heard of the Order of Malta. What you might not know is that certain members known as Knights of Malta have a very unusual diplomatic designation. They have internationally recognised passports. Daniel DePetri Testaferrata is president. Good afternoon, Daniel.
Good afternoon to you, Sean.
So could you start, I suppose, by explaining the history of this as to how they got passport, that the Knights of Malta got passports in the first place. Founded in the 10th century, was it?
Well, now, if you've got a lot of time, we can spend many, many minutes, possibly hours, talking about the history of the Order of Malta. Let me try and condense it in perhaps 30 seconds. So the Order of Malta really started not as the Order of Malta at all, but as a little group of Benedictine tertiaries. So these were monks. It was an Amalfitan group who left Amalfi to go to Jerusalem to basically serve pilgrims en route to the Holy Land. There was a chap named Gerard, and he was the leader of this group, and he thought, let's go and help them, because as you can imagine, getting to the Holy Land back then, we're talking of 1048 or thereabouts, was rather a daunting task. You'd have to walk there, or if you're really lucky, you'd have a mule or a horse to get you there, or if you were super lucky, you'd then have a ship to get you there. But very few did that. Most actually walked. So Gerard went there to help these pilgrims along the route. It was only after this organization then became an actual religious order of the Catholic Church by virtue of a papal bolla, or a papal document issued by Pope Pascal II, that it became a proper religious order. And it was only after that, during the time of the Crusades, that this band of brothers, if you like, thought, wouldn't it be a good idea if we learned to actually defend ourselves against the bandits and people who were trying to attack us and attack our patients? So they did that, and they suddenly became, over the course of a few years, they became an elite fighting group. Well, let's fast forward a little bit. So we know about the Crusades. We know about the fact that this group eventually lost, together with the rest of the Crusades, lost Jerusalem, found themselves in Rhodes, eventually lost Rhodes too, but we're talking of the order went to Rhodes in around 1310, lost Rhodes in 1523. So we're talking many, many years later. What happened then was that they wandered around Europe for a while, ended up in Malta because the Charles V, the Holy Roman Emperor, thought, why not use this elite fighting group to shore up my southern border? You must remember at the time, it's a time of huge conflict. We're talking about the siege of Vienna. We're looking at the Ottoman Empire trying to attack Europe from the west, from the east, from the south, etc., etc. And Charles V thought, let me stick these people there, and they'll protect my southern border. And protect it they did, when we come to the Great Siege of Malta and all that sort of thing, which we all know about. We all know about perhaps the Grand Master de Valette and his great siege where the Ottoman Empire tried to attack Malta unsuccessfully. This time. Well, again, let's fast forward all the way to the loss of Malta when a certain General Bonaparte came knocking on our doors. And that was when the order, by now known as the Order of Malta, lost the islands of Malta, eventually set up shop, if you like, in Rome with the Grand Magistracy in Palazzo Malta in Via dei Condotti. Is that enough as a little brief?
That is fine. That is fine. Okay. But how does this connect then with the Order issuing passports to people? When they were in Malta, was it seen as a sovereign state?
So the sovereignty of the Order actually came before Malta. The sovereignty of the Order came in Rhodes when the Order, because by now it was a religious order of the Catholic Church, now also had temporal power over the islands of Rhodes. And at that point, they started exchanging diplomats with neighboring countries. They started minting their own coins. They essentially had all of the attributes of sovereignty. At that point, they would issue perhaps not passports, because passports really is a much more modern phenomenon. I don't really think that we see passports, I'm not an expert on the matter, but passports really started being used widely in the 1920s, when the League of Nations sort of created the concept of a passport. Back then, you had perhaps a form of safe conduct certificate. And this was issued by the members of the order, by perhaps the government of the order, in favor of its knights, who would be on various missions around the world.
Right.
Now, what I think is really important here is to define what the Order of Malta actually is. Because many people think, oh, this is a wonderful, glorious, ancient crusader group or something of that nature. In actual fact, I think there are three realities of the Order of Malta. And the wonderful thing is that all three need to coexist for the Order of Malta to actually be what it is. First of all, it is a religious order of the Catholic Church. Secondly, it's an international humanitarian organization. Thirdly, it's a sovereign entity. And in that particular order, so it's a religious order first, a humanitarian organization second, and a sovereign entity third. And what does this mean? It means that the sovereignty of the Order of Malta is a functional one in the sense that it uses its sovereign prerogatives, that is, the exchange of diplomats, the use of diplomatic passports, and all the other niceties that come with diplomacy and that sort of thing, to facilitate the humanitarian mission that it carries out all over the world through its religious inspiration.
Mm. Yes. And so at any given time, how many people would have a passport from the Knights?
Well, again, I think one needs to look at it not simply as a passport for its own sake. Perhaps the mistake that sometimes is made is, oh, how wonderful, there's this exclusive passport. Actually, as I said, the passport is a tool which allows us to carry out our humanitarian mission through the diplomatic channels that we have. I would say that at the moment, the total number of passports that the order has issued is around the 500 mark, because the passports that it issues are given to its diplomats, to its professionals on the ground, who carry out missions all over the world. The Order of Malta runs projects in over 120 countries around the world. So we run hundreds of medical centers, about 15 hospitals. Of course, one needs to define what actually is a hospital. But in our definition of hospitals, we've got 15 of them. We've got 33 ambulance corps. One of them, by the way, in Ireland. The Order of Malta is very active in Ireland and mm-hmm. very, very grateful to our employees and our volunteers within the Order of Malta Ambulance Corps in Ireland. We run care homes for the elderly. We run dispensaries and first aid posts. And, of course, we are essentially a global articulated structure providing professional humanitarian assistance all over the world.
Yeah. So the passports would all be diplomatic passports for the reasons you just outlined.
Exactly. The diplomatic credentials that the Order of Malta uses, it is really a vital, it is a tangible tool which the order uses to carry out its mission, and it is really an indispensable backdrop for our humanitarian actions.
Yeah.
The passport in itself, as I said, is simply a tool which allows us to carry out these missions around the world.
Yeah, so holders of the passport, though, would they have another passport, say, issued from the country they were born in? Or are you, in effect, a citizen of the Order of Malta?
Well, one of the quirks of the Order of Malta is that it is completely unique in the world. I don't think that there's another organization like it, because we have no citizens and we have no territory. And some would think that that places us in a very poor position. In actual fact, it places us in an extremely strong position. Because with no citizens and with no territory, there's nobody to conquer and there's no territory to invade. Placing us, as I said, in a very strong position when it comes to using our neutrality, our impartiality, our apolitical nature, to then carry out our missions by being a trusted partner in every side of the conflict. Because we are present in many areas of conflict. We are present in areas of natural disasters, of course, but we're also present in areas of areas where one country or one area decides to wage war against another. And through the fact that we have neither citizens nor territory, that makes us a trusted partner, combined with the fact that we have many very experienced individuals among our ranks who are quite well-versed in diplomacy, quite well-versed in humanitarian campaigns, and thankfully know how to navigate these rather difficult waters of conflict between states and between nations. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, yes, the member of the order would have the order's passport. Now, of course, not all members of the order would. Those members of the order who are diplomats and who therefore qualify to hold a diplomatic passport, but they would also hold the passport of their nation of birth.
Right. Yeah. And because it's such a rarity, would it be routine in the case if they turn up at an airport in a country that it's always going to be recognised, or do they have to do a little explaining occasionally as to what it means?
There is always some explaining that needs to be done because of the fact that it's such a rare document. And I must also say that we have diplomatic recognition in around 113 states around the world. So not every country recognizes us as a sovereign entity, but many of them do.
Indeed, it's absolutely fascinating. Daniel De Petri Testaferrata is president of the Maltese Association of the Order of Malta. Daniel, thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's been a pleasure speaking to you and looking forward to the next time.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.